I want you to get something. John 14, 6. You need to have that verse memorized. Jesus said, I am the way. He is not a way to God. He is the way to God. He said, I am the way, the truth. Not a truth. The definite article, the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now when John, this John right here, walks along out here and he sees that sign and it says one way, that's a sign about Jesus. Because he's one way. He's the only way to heaven. One way. So for somebody to get from here to God, from here to the clock, they can only do it one step at a time, and it's got to be truth. When you go to talk to people, in America, we are like encyclopedias. We've got all this information that's been thrown at us. Smorgasbord of religious information. Are you with me? People know all this kind of stuff about God. I asked somebody, are you going to heaven? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was raised in church. Oh, yeah. I have warm, fuzzy feelings toward God. Oh, yeah. I got in the water. Oh, yeah. My mom prayed all the time. My grandma, she prayed all the time. That person, when I hear all that stuff, when I ask somebody, if you were to die, do you know that you would go to heaven? Do you know what I listen for, what God's taught me to listen for? Where's Jesus in what they say? Where's Jesus? Because if they don't have Jesus, they don't have the way. If they don't have Jesus, they don't have the truth. They want to talk about themselves. They want to talk about their warm, fuzzy feelings. They want to talk about what they do, their grandmother. You know, are you going to heaven? If anybody's going to heaven, my grandmother is. I didn't ask about your grandmother. I'm talking to you because your grandmother prayed. Because you weren't listening and you didn't get it before. And so God relentlessly pursues you because he loves you. So if you're going to witness to somebody, are you hearing me? We're going to help somebody get from here to the clock. There are steps. There are truths. And people that you meet, everybody is at a different level. You can't just treat everybody like it's a can. Like I was taught when I got saved and got in church, and they wanted to do this canned presentation of Romans Road. You know, all are sinners, Romans 3, 10 through 12. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, Romans 5, 8, Romans 6, 23, Romans 10, 9 through 13. I was taught to do all that. Run them through all this stuff, and then you believe that? Okay, pray this prayer. A prayer didn't die for them on the cross. It's not their prayer. Come on in. You're just dropping stuff off? You could just set it down right there. That'd be great. God bless you. Everybody needs Jesus. And we want to love them to Jesus. See, like that man right there, he's like Jesus. He's giving. He's tenderhearted. It's awesome. And that's something that we need to let people know. We need to make them feel welcome because we're going to be talking about stuff that's heavy duty and going to make them tremble. Often when I talk to people, they start shaking. They start trembling. Because all I got to do, you've already had me do it to you. All I got to do is ask you a couple of questions. And I've cut right through all the mess and got right to the real part. Right? Well, guess what? And I'm not telling you to be like me. The hecklers, need to keep their stuff to themselves. So, what would I expect in a church that I pastor? Okay. I'm telling you. Yeah, no. I've helped to hone you, but I didn't make you like that, dude. You were like that before I came along. Dude, you've just gotten a little better, you know. You just got off some of the rough edges. We're still working with you, though.
Amen.
So here's what I'm going to say. When we're going to witness to somebody about Jesus, you need to understand that everybody's at a different level with God. Everybody's at a different level. No, you're fine. It wasn't you. It was all the rest of them. Okay. Everybody's got a lot of stuff inside of them that's in the way between them and God. There's a reason when you go to, there's a reason this world's going to hell. There's a reason this country is in the shape that it's in. It's because there's so many lies and so many opinions. Remember I say ABC? Anything but Christ? Anything but church? That's how this world lives. Anything but Christ. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you just listen to people, what comes out of their mouth? I told you, when I talk, people respond, man. It's like, because it gets them right where they're at. Now, watch this. I want to get from where Steve is to that clock. When I meet Steve, the clock is Jesus. When I want to get Steve to Jesus. When I met Steve, it was like, how do I let God work through me to get Steve to Jesus? Well, the first thing is they need to know that you care about them. You don't have an agenda. You're not trying to get them to come to a building. Folks, they could come to a building and go to hell. They could go to church the rest of their life and go to hell. Do you understand? They need Jesus. Do you hear me? How do I get him to him? Well, I got to be sensitive to him. And if you know God, then the Holy Spirit of God lives, resides inside of you. This is, your heart is his home. And you need to just ask him, what does he need? And what he does with me often is he'll say, just listen a little bit. And I listen. And as I start talking, it's like God starts revealing things. And I hear their needs. I hear their hurts. I hear lies that are inside of them that they don't even know. We were sitting at a table in a restaurant here a couple weeks ago with my son-in-law and grandson and my wife and I. And the waitress came up. She's all bubbly. Blah, 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 blah. And I thought, this lady's just like me. You know, she's just that outgoing personality, never met a stranger, you know. I said, can I ask? So after she did her whatever, I said, can I ask you a question? She goes, yes. I said, did you personally need Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you? All that did was poke a hole in her balloon, and all this air came rushing out. Well, I believe, well, I feel, well, I live, and I do this, and blah, 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 blah. And a lot of it was not true. And the people that were sitting around, I was watching their faces. I'm talking about the people, my son-in-law, my grandson, and then my wife, she's used to it. But they were like, aren't you going to say something about the lies she's saying? I mean, she's so off. And I'm like, I don't need to deal with that. She's just, by what she opens her mouth, she's exposing what's inside of her. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When people talk, you find out what's inside of them. So when she went on doing that, in the past, I would have jumped on some of those lies. Well, you know, because she said she was a Buddhist Christian. That was just one of the things she said, and I went, dude, this lady is going in two opposite directions, and she doesn't even know where she's going. You know what I mean? And it's like, she doesn't even know what she's saying. And it was like, God's like, you know, he's had to teach me through the years, Harv, is that going to help anybody? But you like, hey, you're a Buddhist Christian? Hey, Bap, no, you're not. What are you, stupid? You know, that doesn't help anybody. Instead, I'm letting her know that I care about her. And I was caring about her because her heart is to help people, to be kind, to make people happy. I'm glad. But here's where she is, and there's Jesus. Now, how do I get her to Jesus? All I'm doing is I'm eating a meal. I can't unload the whole apple cart right there. I can't start at Genesis and go through Revelation. I can't take her through. Do you understand? What do you do? God, what do you do? He said, just ask her one question. So that's the only question I ask her. And she said all those words, and then she left. When she came back, I said, you know, you're a really bubbly personality, and you like people. And I said whatever God told me to say. I don't remember what it was. She's like, yeah. I said, yeah, it takes one to know one, you know. She goes, yeah, you're like me. I go, yeah, I know. I'm just being friends with her. I didn't attack her. I didn't talk about all those things she said. I didn't try to straighten her out. God said, just love her. Just care about her. Listen to everything she's saying as if you care. Like, hear what she's saying. And I'm listening. And he says, don't listen to what she's saying trying to think about what you want to say. Care about her. Because God cares about you. Doesn't he? Well, we need to treat people the same way God treats us. Even when God's telling us we're wrong, he doesn't do this. Does he nag? No. Doesn't shake his finger in our face. Doesn't give us the look. You know. Doesn't give us the cold shoulder. Huh? Does he? He lovingly comes after us. We're going to say all our words. He'll just like, okay, I'll wait till you're done. How's that working for you? It's terrible! Are you ready now? Would you let me love you? Well, I'm going to keep doing. Okay, then I'll wait. See, God doesn't push. He's kind. How do I get her from here to you, Jesus? He said, just love her. Just Jesus her. Get it? Just God her. That's why we've got to hang out with God. Because we're going to talk about, we're going to give what we have. I want you to get this prayer inside of you. So you might want to write it down, but you've heard me say it before, but maybe you can pay attention this time. Okay? I just say things different to try to get your attention, you know. God, help me to see this person with your eyes. I want to have your heart for them. God loves us when we're not lovable. He loves us when we're not lovely. He loves us when we're not pursuing Him. He loves us when we're in the midst of our worst sin. God doesn't quit loving us. God doesn't get fed up with us. Do we get mad at people? Do we get fed up with them? Shows where we're not like God, huh? Shows where we're lacking, huh? Maybe we need a little more fill-up of God. Because we want to be Christians, right? We don't just want to be church members. We want to be Christians, Christ-like believers, correct? Okay. How do I get this waitress over to Jesus? Just love her. Just listen. Okay, I've done that. And it's like, okay, that's all I'm going to do. And see, I'm not thinking that's all I'm going to do for a minute, and then I'm going to get to talk, like I used to think. It's probably why it's taken God so long to release me, because it's taken so long for me to get it, okay? So I'm listening. And then he says, now just talk about her and what you appreciate about her, but tell it to her in front of others. And when I appreciated her in front of others, it made her feel good. I wasn't flattering. I don't believe in flattery at all. If you haven't known me very long, I don't believe in flattery at all. I'm not a flatterer, okay? I don't even like it when people do it with me. Why are you telling me this? That's what I say when people start flattering me. I'm waiting for the other foot to drop, you know? That's it. I had a boss one time. I was in a 200-man shop, and you couldn't find Christ in anybody in that place with a magnifying glass. And that was 1978-9. And 13 and a half in Stevenson, called Weld Nation. And I was newly saved, and I used to memorize Bible verses out loud. For God so loved the world, that you reprobates, that He gave His only begotten Son. That's the precious Lord Jesus. That's how I used to do it. I used to walk around, take people's cigarette packs, and fill them with oil. I used to tear their naked women down off and shred them up, take their penthouses and Playboys and, where's my Lucy? Is that your sister? What? You know what Lucy is. I had her, everybody like, you know what? You wouldn't put that on your mother's living room, would you? Not on her wall, would you? Well, other guys' wives and mothers and sisters come in this place and daughters. It's not a good thing for them to see. Well, don't ever do that again. As long as you don't put it up, I won't. And they were all bigger than me. But for some reason, I had the boldness of a junkyard dog, and I was stupid as a box of rocks. And I just loved Jesus. And I'd already been down that road, and He saved me out of it. And I just thought I was supposed to get them out of it. You know, I didn't know, man. I just, instead of like trying to love them to Jesus, I just grabbed by the neck and like, come on with me, you know. And that's what I did with everybody. I used to throw them against the wall. You need Jesus, you know. It's just where I was. I'm telling you, God had to bring me a long way, you know. Still got quite a ways to go. I'm so thankful that He doesn't give up on us. So, something I was telling you. So one day, the guy next to me, he kept me, all these people would come by me and I would talk to them about Jesus. Of course, they weren't like coming to hear, they were coming to heckle, you know. They would come and tell, they would say, would you like to hear a joke? And I learned to say, is it dirty? And if they stuttered, then I knew it was dirty. I'd say, no, I don't want to hear it. So what they would do is gather around me in gangs of 10 or 20, and they would tell the dirty jokes to each other right by my machine, because I wouldn't leave my machine, and they'd all go take these breaks all the time, because the coffee machine was about from here to that truck away. And they would all go over there, and I'd see them all looking at me pointing, and then they'd all come over as a group, and they'd start saying all their dirty stuff around me. That's why I started memorizing verses out loud, because how else was I going to fight them? It was me against 200. You know what I'm saying? That's how it was every day. So that's where I was at. So one day, the guy next to me, I don't remember his name, but I could see him. He had a beard, long brown hair, you know, clean cut all-American. And he ran a shaper, and I was running a lathe. And one day, he took off running through the shop. I see the light! I see the light! Because he heard me talking about Jesus all the time, and finally it just ate his lunch, and he couldn't handle it anymore. So he ran through this 200-man shop yelling, I see the light! And everybody, I mean, everybody's looking, you know. So a little while later, he and the foreman, Mark Lalonde, this guy was about 65 or 70 or something like that, and he and Mark Lalonde were standing over there, and the guy was going, you know, doing his arms everywhere. And then they kept looking at me. I knew they were talking about me, you know. So they get done. Mark Lalonde goes back to the office over the intercom. Harvey Hampton, come to the office. Harvey Hampton, come to the, that's the only time. So everybody's going, ooh, ooh, you know, they're all acting like, you know, making their mating calls or something. And so I walk to the office and they're all going, you're going to get in trouble, you know, you're going to get fired and all this. I'm like, whatever. So I go to the office, I walk in, Mark Lalonde, he says, you want to know, you're the best worker we have. You never leave your machine. You're always here on time. And he's saying all this, and I'm standing there going, uh-huh. So what did you call me in here for? Because all that you're telling me, and what he said was, the reason I called you in here is because you got to quit talking about God. He says, he was Catholic. Of course, he used God's name in vain. He didn't know God's last name. He kept giving him the wrong names. Had a different God, I guess. And he said, I don't want you to talk about God anymore in here. And I looked at him, and I'm thinking, Lord, what do I say? And I said, I'll tell you what, I won't talk about God anymore if you'll have everybody else quit using my God's name in vain, which he did all the time. And he said, nobody in this place is going to change, only you. Now, he called me in there to flatter me. That's how we started all this. It's not about flattery, it's about getting them to Jesus. I want you to realize, everybody is at a different level. When you go to talk to somebody, God, what do you want to say? What do you want to do here? And he wants to love them to Jesus. That's why he put them in your life. And maybe all you're going to do is ask them one question. There's times that all God has me do is give them a hug. Just give them a hug. Sometimes he doesn't usually just have me listen. Now, some of y'all were anointed for that. You know, I was born deformed, 2 miles, one ear. It's hard for me to do the listening part. I do some, but he always has me talk. How are we going to get them from there to here? We need to hang out with God because you're going to talk about what you're full of. God, help me to see and feel about them the way you do. Not the way they're acting, not their attitudes, not the way they drive. It is my road. I let y'all drive on it. Move over. That's how I've said many times. And God's had to deal with me. Do you understand? Don't look at people through your eyes and how it affects you. Matthew 10:39. He that findeth his life. What does that mean? It means you trying to make your own life. You trying to be successful your way. I'm a self-made millionaire. Well, bully for you. And you're still going to hell. So what good did that do you? You don't have any peace. You're married 3 times now. You know, your kids are on their way to hell. So what is it? Okay, now, you ready to come to the end of yourself yet? And I'm not saying you say that stuff to people. I'm saying let's cut to the chase. Let's get real. Because I know many millionaires, and this is what I find, okay? God, I want to see them through your eyes. How do you see this person? And he sees each person as how he created you. He can see you without the dross, he can see you without all the stuff that's messed up your life. Sin, clutter, all these words, baggage. There's a C word, but I can't think of what it is. But it does, huh? Carnality, but that's not it. But it's okay. Don't worry about the word, okay? The point, you got the point. He can see us. He can see us as he made us. He loves you 100% right now. You need to share that with people. He loves you 100% right now. But if you're not experiencing his love, maybe it's like those two kids that are hurt. The one receives the comfort, climbs up in mommy's lap, mommy patting the hair, kissed him on the head. Okay? The other kid stiffens up. Mommy loves both of them, but the one stiffening up, the one that won't be comforted, the one that won't listen, the one that is stubborn, hard. There's love available, but it's not accepted. It's not experienced. God loves you 100% right now. But you know what? He loves every person that's in hell too. And he visits them, and they aren't even aware because there's no light. There's no fellowship. But he goes there and cries over them because he created them for fellowship. He loves them. So how do we get people from here to there? We can't. You got to remember that. It's not you persuading people. See, I thought it was me persuading people. Before I got saved, I was going to become a lawyer. I took 4 years of Latin in high school. I was going to become a lawyer. I don't know if you've ever noticed, I have a gift of gab, and I have a gift of persuasion. I can persuade people. That's why I try very carefully to not try to persuade you into things, because I want God to do it in you, and you make the choice of what you're going to do with truth. And you need to let the other people that you're trying to help get to Jesus, you need to let them make up their own mind. Even if it's to reject God, to reject truth, to reject life, you got to let them, because God gave them a free will. Manipulation means you put your hands on it and try to control them. Do you want to be manipulated? Then don't do it to anybody. In other words, right now, God, I break agreement with manipulation. If it's in my life, like through nagging or giving people the look or trying to put guilt on them, then God, I want you to reveal it to me so I can break agreement. I want you to remove the root and the seed of that in my life and the whole root system, how it's colored my life. Get it out of me. Grant me repentance and then fill me with your love of forgiveness and cleansing, because I only want Jesus living in me, not all that junk. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? I'm telling you, it's so simple. It's God. How do we get them from here to there? We hang out with God. We ask God to fill us. We ask God to work in us first. Don't ever forget, you don't arrive. We're all works in progress. We're all somewhere along this line to God. Okay? Now, some of us have gotten saved. Maybe everybody in this room, I don't know. But let's say you've gotten saved. You've met Jesus. Now you're somewhere on this line of walking with Jesus. But it's you and Jesus now. See, before that, they don't even have Jesus. So when they're hateful, it's because they don't have Jesus. When they're hurting and they're hurting you, it's because they don't have Jesus. Do you understand? They're missing the key element in their life. And God brought them into your life because He wants you to represent Him to them. So you hang out with Him. You get filled up with Him. You get loved on. You get your stinking thinking cleaned up. You follow what I'm saying? I'm not hurting anybody here, right? No, I'm trying to help you, right? This is good stuff, right? This is good stuff. This is good stuff. And then, as we go through life, when you have a thought, this person needs Jesus. I need to witness to this person. I feel like I'm supposed to hug this person. Those thoughts come from God. The devil wouldn't tell you to do that, would he? So who do you want living in you? I'm glad all four of you do. How about the rest of you? Who do you want living in you? Well, that means we got to release him. He doesn't want to be a captive in the cage of your heart. Do you hear me? And if it's hard for you to love somebody, tell God. God, I don't like this person. But I'm willing to let you love them through me, but I don't like them. So you are going to have to change my heart. And he says, I'm so glad for the invitation. Do you get it? Lord, every week I keep coming in here with those notes in Psalm 66:16 and all those verses you gave me. And every week I come in here and you think it's okay to interrupt my notes and do what you want. And I tell you, that's fine. But are we ever going to be able to give them these verses in Psalm 66:16 that you gave me? Lord, we love you. This is your day. This is your life. We want to lose it unto you. We want to give our lives to you. Lord, this world so desperately needs Jesus, and we're going to win them one person at a time. You care about each individual. You're not into saving groups. You're saving each individual one at a time, and we are going to reach one person at a time. And so, Lord, help us to be aware of that. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let me give you a verse, because I didn't get to finish this verse. Matthew 10:39. It says, he that findeth his life shall lose it. I'm a self-made millionaire. Remember when I started that? I did it. Okay, but there's no life in that. There might be money in that. There might be things in that. There might be power in that. There might be position in that. But there's no presence in that. There's no life in that. Okay? And people don't need your religion. They need your relationship with Jesus. Remember that. Okay? So, here's my challenge to each one in this room. Okay, look, I'm drawing a line. Look on the floor. Do you see a line? I drew it. Okay, it's for you. Are you going to cross over? Here we go. You ready? Are you ready? He that finds his life shall lose it. Are you willing? But it goes on to say, but he that loses, Jesus said, he that loses his life, the same shall find it, or find my life. What if you could live? Have you ever experienced the life of Jesus? I'm sorry. Yes. Good. Now, you ready? What if you could experience it all the time? 24 hours a day. I'm talking about that warmest, fuzziest, in his presence, don't ever want to move, afraid to breathe because it's gonna change. You're right there in his very presence. I'm talking about that. Now watch, you either get to live your life and try to get God to come bless what you're doing, or you can lose your life. I'm tired of my life, Lord. I don't want to live it. I don't even know how to live it. I look around and nobody else knows how to live it either. But Jesus, you know how to live it. You live the perfect life. You never sin. So Jesus, I want to lose my life, and you promise you're going to give me your life. Is anybody getting this? I don't want my life. I'm willing to lose my life. I'm going to give my life to you, Jesus. Now, how would you like to spend it? And don't restrict him. Oh, no, no, I don't want to go over there. Oh, no, 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 I don't want to talk to him. Oh, no, 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 I don't want to, you know. You just shut the valve. Arms wide open, heart exposed. Arms wide open, heart exposed. I want your life, Jesus. Jesus, it would be neat if that was everybody's choice in this room. And they said right now, I want your life, Jesus. Whatever that means. I don't want my life anymore. I don't want you to come bless my life, fix my life, visit my life. I want to lose my life. I lay it down. I'm tired of it. Here, I'm giving it to you. How would you like to live? I want to let you live your life through me. Thank you, Jesus. I love you.